I'm Linus from the Free Software Foundation Europe. I'm an expert there, and I also work on other projects like Detective, which we want to be a free and open source solution to make European public tendering data or public procurement data explorable for people who don't know that much about procurement data. So I want to do a couple of things in this talk. First, I want to describe why public procurement data is interesting, why we should take a look at it. And I want to discuss some problems of how this data in the EU context is currently accessible. And then I want to show you our project of alleviating some of these problems with Detective. And then I want to show you how you can actually contribute to the project if you find it interesting. Still very much in the early stages and just getting going, and yeah, we love the opportunity to show this now so people can actually contribute even in the earlier phases of the project. So what's TET? TET's in the name. And what's TET? So TET stands for Tenders European Daily, and it's basically a data set that's published by the EU Publications Office. And they published this data for a long time. They've been publishing this for a long time, since 2015 actually. They've been providing this freely on the internet. And it's data about basically who buys what from whom, like which public institutions in the EU buy what for what price from which organization. So it's really data about the relationship between business and government. So for example, your local school or some ministry in your country, in the EU, wants to buy something that's above a certain threshold. They're defined in EU legislation. You can look them up in the link here. I will upload the slides afterwards. It needs to go into TET. And it will be in this data set. And there's at least 670 billion per year in value that's kind of encapsulated in this data. And there's more than 700,000 notices that they publish each year that describe this entire process of public procurement in the EU. Roy Grace, that's something you want to join? So you could think, well, great, you publish it, so what's the problem with that? The way this data is made accessible is via this UI. One funny thing is this button statistics mode. I still haven't found out what that does, like what that changes. Maybe somebody from the EU can illuminate. But basically, you have to really know what you're searching for in the first place in order to be able to use this kind of interface. And there's also a lot of other problems with accessing this data. For example, you can't really search by organization, which would be interesting. I mean, it's about the relationship between government and business in follow the money terms. So why is there no option to search for organizations that I'm interested in? I can only really do a full text search over these huge XML files, which are really complex. And I can do some other stuff, but there's no typo tolerance, for example. None of the really nice search features that we've been used to. And most importantly, there's no ability at all to readily visualize the results that I get. Like if I type something in here, in this search mask, I get back a list of HTML, like basically just an HTML list of notices that I need to understand what's a notice and what are the different types of notices that I'm interested in. So it's really hard. So it makes the TET cry. Because accessibility is really bad with this data. So why is Detective needed? In the past, there have been a number of attempts to look at this data and kind of transform it into a more manageable, more readily analyzable format. And we weren't really able to identify like a single freely available solution that was published under a free software license that allows you to explore this data, even if you don't have domain expertise or data science expertise. And you kind of need both now to be able to make some sense of this data. And we thought this would be interesting. So why isn't this more readily available? So we applied to last year's EU Datathon with this idea, basically, to make this data more accessible. And this is what we told them. So we have any type of, like, let's say we have a public servant that wants to find out who buys what from, like, within Germany or within their state. Who buys from Microsoft Deutschland, and like how much they spend on free software from this company, and yeah, maybe make the case of how much they could save if they use free software instead. Or let's say you're a journalist who wants to investigate recent purchases made by like border authority. You could do that now with the chat interface, but it's very, very difficult, and you'd have to like jump a lot of hurdles to get there. So we want Detective to be an application that you use, which lowers the barrier of entry to analyze. So we thought that let's present the publications office the concept with free software and keeping it very simple. So we built something roughly with this architecture. So you have this XML file, and this was very quickly built just for this datathon. So I'll go through it quickly. So we had this XML file, I transformed it to JSON for whatever reason, which was a very bad idea, and then I parsed it in Python and put it in some ad hoc schema in Postgres, and then I used the Neo4j ETL tool to put it to a Neo4j database, the data I was interested in, this relational data between that shows the relationship between business and government. And then I used Neo-Dash to visualize that. And that actually already gave the people at EU Data some chance to see what might be possible if you open up this data. So I'll show you like a little demo of how that looked. So basically this is just an overview. I parsed data for like roughly 3 years or 2.5 years. This shows you the activity per country. This is just some general overviews, like roughly 1 million tenders. And then yeah, it's not optimized yet. You get you search for Microsoft Germany, and then you have this graph. You have a geographical distribution of commercial activity that's related to Microsoft. And you get this nice graph of relationships between Microsoft Germany here in the center as an entity. And then the yellow or red ones are tenders. So here they sold something to some institution of German government, in this case here. Mostly because Microsoft Deutschland mostly sells to German government. And the red ones are tenders above 1 million euro. And so that gave you a very quick way to, like very quick overview over the commercial activity and the relationship between government entities and business entities. I do the same with, you get more information here. You can actually go to the TED website to see the notice that analyzed this.
A short question. You search now for Microsoft, but usually they work with like these service providers that then sell to. So there's an indirect relationship. Is there something within there?
Yeah. Can we go back? Can we get back to this?
Yeah, sure.
The challenges that we face that you can all help us overcome. But that's most certainly one. So here I do the same with the Polish border authority. Here's more like who does an entity buys from. Over the past 2.5 years, you can see what kind of like fence and weapon and ammunition stuff they bought. I mean, I'll get through this because, this is actually another problem that I'll talk about towards the end of the talk. It's deduplication. So in TED data, as it's published in these XML files, there's no deduplication of entities at all. So you can have Microsoft Deutschland GmbH, Microsoft Deutschland, just Microsoft, whatever that is, and like you can see here, Microsoft Ireland, like there's all these different, so I did some very naive deduplication attempt, and also put that data in a new project graph, but there's much more to be done on that front, and it's a very interesting problem, I think. Also because you need to think about it from a policy side a little bit as well. Like, is Microsoft Deutschland a different entity from Microsoft Ireland? And if yes, what does that mean for my data analysis? Should I analyze them together because they're really operating as one entity? So there are interesting questions connected to this that are not only technical. So let's go back to my... So yeah, so that was obviously limited in scope because it was really ad hoc, it was quickly made, and there were lots of problems with how I parsed this data for this physical identification. So now we're at the stage where there's actually a lot of interest in this, in the FSP doing this. I've heard from a lot of people that they would be interested in analyzing this data and being able to explore this data. So what's next and what's already implemented? So there's the open contracting data standard, which is something that actually came after TET was first published. So I told you already TET was first published in 2015. I think the OCDS started being developed around 2018, 2019, something like that. And if you now build any kind of public procurement platform, you use this data standard because it's just a very nice way. People have put a lot of thought into how can we display this entire process of public procurement, how can we put this neatly into a data structure. And so now we're building Detective with this data structure at its core. And the first task will be to parse this TET XML jungle into this nicely specified OCDS. So I built a relational database that roughly captures OCDS. You see a lot of JSONB in Postgres there, because some things I didn't do a many-to-many or a many-to-one, but just put JSONB for now. Makes it much easier. Otherwise, this table would not have been presentable. And now, this is the graph system step from after all. The next question, because I think analyzing this data, analyzing public procurement data, analyzing these relationships between business and government, is really lends itself to being encapsulated in a graph database. So, and this is really the core of OCDS that's interesting, and that would be interesting to model in a graph database like Neo4j. You have these tender, like a tender is basically a company says, like we're gonna. A public entity says we want to buy X or Y amount. And then another organization can apply for that. They're usually like something like a commercial entity. They say like, look, we can furnish this tender, like we apply for this tender. That's interesting data in and of itself, who applies for which tenders and which regions and stuff like that. And then there's awards. That's basically who gets the contract after all. And so that would be a very simple place to start with a graph database, to just have this, have all the TED data going back from 2015, parse it into OCDS, and then take this subset of what's really central and put it into a graph database, and then really start exploring this visually. And that's what we want to do. And it's, part of it is already done, so we are currently working on parsing this data, this XML. I use LXML library for that, which is really nice. And I parse this into a relational database, and I specify the OCDS data schema with SQL model, which is a really cool library. Basically gives you Pydantic models and SQL Alchemy models in like one entity. It's really cool. It's really nice to work with. And then I want to create like a CSV export to be then able to input that data in Neo4j, put like a fast API, scaffolding around that, and then also build some UI, which we are currently researching which framework to use, and I'm also here to find out which one would be the coolest one, so I'll stay here, because I think there will be some problems in SigmaJS later. But there's also React Force Graph, and really like the nice UI that's specifically geared towards that use case of analyzing public procurement data. And then have that the backend backed by these two, like the relational database and the Neo4j database, and choose, depending on the query, which data source you actually use. I'll go through the rest pretty quickly, but this is, if you want to get onboarded, I mean, documentation is still rough around the edges, but I'll do my best in the next days and weeks to really make the project approachable to new developers who find this interesting and want to work with me and MSP on this. So some key characteristics that we want to really kind of put a focus on with Detective is that it's it must be free software and it's reuse compliant. That means like every file has a license header and copyright header, so that it can really be easily reused. And we want to make it for the people. So like a lot of my work in the next weeks will also include speaking to people who analyze procurement data and ask them what kind of queries they would, what kind of questions they would like to ask, because that's really important, I think, for the design of any system that you ask people that are later going to use it, like, how could this be helpful? We have done some of that, but then we will do way more of that, especially now because we start building the UI. And we want it to be interoperable, so everything that the detective uses, every data that it uses, will be also published under Power BI CC 5 4.0 license, and there will be an open API interface that will be publicly available. Obviously, some limits if it gets too crazy, but we'll think about that when the problem arrives. And also, we fundamentally believe that linked data is more interesting, because once you have this data in the OCDS format, you can start linking it with other data sources, or if you have it in a graph database, you can start linking it with other data sources. Like things that come to mind would be open corporate data, where you can really enrich the data that you have in organizations with data that's in this public database of corporate entities. Open sanctions would then allow you to flag people or companies or entities that are on some sanction list. And stuff like the offshore leaks database would allow you to highlight links to offshore companies and stuff like that. That's of interest for your analysis. But this would be a future possibility that I'm really excited about. But the first step is obviously to get this into a nice format and then to think about extending. Some of the challenges is really cleaning this step data, because some of it's quite old. Like if you look at data that was published in 2015, and it's just there's a lot of typos in there, and it's just these huge XML files that didn't apparently do much validation on the forms that we're used to when they input this data. So it's in some places very messy. And OCDS helps a lot actually with parsing this data, because it's a very well-defined standard, and there's people like a mapping from TET to OCDS that some people have published, so it's really cool. And then the next big problem that we would need help with is deduplication of entities, which are already kind of online beginning. It would be very cool if any of you have good ideas on that and can contribute. Because I think that's really central to take it being helpful. So how can you get involved? All the code lives on our Git instance. At the moment, you can only like really contribute via PR issues if you make an account, and our Git is free. It's just a couple of clicks, but that's for now. If nobody manages that, then we'll think about mirroring it on GitHub. Let's try this first. Maybe there's Federation coming for the Git forges. Not there yet, as I understand. There's also a website with the documentation, and then you can also write an email to this will reach always the maintainers set up this way. And I'm looking forward to your question. Thank you very much for your attention.
Regarding funding, did you try to contact the official European institution so that you can have funding for this UI and so that it becomes like the default UI for tech in Europe?
So I know that. So the question was whether we asked the publications office for funding for this. Not specifically yet. I know that they are working themselves on a huge reform of the entire ecosystem. So they do this, what they call e-forms now, which is supposed to substitute what used to be TED. But e-forms still isn't OCS. There's discussions around that that I don't fully understand all the time. And they're also rebuilding the TED website. We should get the contacts with them. I have the contacts because we won this datathon and we have the, like I have a technical contact there. And we should make use of it. But I was really like deep into the code the past couple of weeks. But this would certainly be very helpful to reach out to them. Absolutely. And this will happen. And we already got some funding because we won this datathon.
So the data that's currently produced or published, is it still some TED or is it also all OCDS?
It will be all in OCDS format. Right. Honestly, I don't think anything else makes sense.
So it's just old data that
we will republish as OCDS.
Right.
There's some place like opentender.eu, which was a EU-funded project, which also does this republishing of such data as OCDS, but it's not consistent in how it how regularly it updates its database. It doesn't seem very active and maintained.
I got a question. When you look at these tenders and companies involved, are you also able to extract what the actual tender is about? So is there an like underlying structure? This is about, I don't know, classroom furniture, and this is about like military equipment, so that you kind of can correlate also by item or by contract product?
Yes. So should I repeat the question? Or?
Yeah.
So the question was whether there's also data about what is being procured and details about what's being procured by public institutions. And the answer is yes. There's usually a title that's fairly descriptive and a description. Sometimes in English, sometimes in other languages, and then there's CPV codes, which is called like the common procurement vocabulary that specify what kind of category this procurement is in. But some stuff is excluded by this legislation. So, for example, like military equipment, is not published in this state, it's not open. That's why we can't talk about open procurement in EU context yet, because there's still lots of sensitive data that's not being included in that.
Do you plan to host it publicly?
Yeah, absolutely. We plan to host it publicly? Yes, absolutely. It's just at the moment the API is down because I refactored so many things, but it will be. It will be up again. And of course, it will be publicly available, but if everything crashes because there's so much interest in it, then we'll think about limiting it somehow.
But there's a system.
Exactly, yeah. So we'll see, you know, like if there's really like that much interest.
I have a question. What have been the biggest challenge you find putting the data in the first
thing? So what was the biggest challenge in cleaning the data? So I would say one is just finding, if there is an English translation available, finding that for the specific, because it's really weirdly laid out in this XML file. So I really wrap my head around like where's, if a translation exists, like where is it in the XML file, and what does it apply to? Another one was, languages that I didn't even know the alphabet of, they're hard to parse. That just in general, like company names that they didn't have for a long time, apparently any validation on what you could put in there, which makes it really hard. And it would have been very easy to implement upstream, and now it's because it has to do downstream.
Thank you.